The Greek word philanthropia, or philanthropy in English, is described by Dr. Demetrios Konstantelos as a word that defies translation. He further describes it as a pure Greek compound word which expresses man's love for his near ones, his affection, an active concern not only for his kin and friend, but for his fellow man in general. It also is used in connection with God's love for man. The early church fathers all expressed that view that philanthropia is one of the paramount attributes of God expressing itself toward his relationship with man, and that as a result, man ought to possess the same attributes and to apply it toward his fellow man. Today, I want to talk about the transforming impact of Orthodox philanthropy. The Orthodox tradition of philanthropy, I believe, has lost its power and purity in the contemporary church, and thus lost its transforming and healing power in American society. It's imperative that in today's church, we understand that philanthropy is not just a part of a secular partnership or a political effort to improve the state of humanity and thus America. It should not flow from selfish motives that may only appear virtuous or sacrificial. We must act from a heart of love, face to face, whenever possible, as living demonstrations of the philanthropy of God. We are arguably the most generous nation in the world, both from a government aid view and the personal giving side. But I believe that we've lost the true transforming power of what philanthropy really is in society. We're seeing increasing social political unrest as America struggles out from under a welfare state that was built up over the last few decades that is challenged not only by the competing political factions, but the sustainability of federal and state spending to help the poor, the disabled, the mentally ill, along with many other vulnerable populations. We have a safety net that is expanding continually with lofty goals such as eradicating poverty and ending homelessness and health care for every citizen, just to name a few, but is unsustainable by any objective measure. The unsustainable spending is what drove bipartisan welfare reform in the mid-90s, and since then America has been struggling on how to continue this post-welfare society. Christians of all traditions are challenged with this new paradigm as well. They see the federal and state governments struggling with the failure of past efforts. And my contention is that we've not only failed in our efforts, but in the process we may have killed the heart of America with a system of government largesse that has politicized philanthropy, developed a nation of blind givers, and worse yet, secularized traditional Christian thinking. Through various multimedia appeals and late-night infomercials, we weep before our computers or TVs and pledge a small amount to help starving children or single mothers. And the next morning, it's out of our minds. There's no personal touch, no face-to-face human interaction, no embrace of love or compassion. I'm afraid we've lost the sense of individual sacrifice, the personal connection to another human being that's made in the image and likeness of God, the sense of mutual accountability of the receiver and the giver seems to be gone. When I look a street person in the eye and listen to them and touch them and reach out to meet a need, there's a unique connection between two human beings. There's a sense that I have to meet this person as a child of God. All too often, the scenario is, give me what is my right, or I pay taxes, so keep these beggars off the street. A business owner comes to work and finds a street person huddled in the doorway, but instead of reaching down to make sure he's okay and doesn't need any assistance, the police are summoned. Get this guy out of my business doorway. He's going to keep my customers away. It gets a sad commentary of where we've been and where we're going. With increased secularization of American culture, all the competing values in society, the political world, the neo-pagan humanism, it's easy for the Orthodox Christian to be distracted, confused, or simply ill-informed about the importance of philanthropy in our lives individually, as members of Christ's Holy Church, and as citizens of our diverse communities throughout the United States. We're often chasing utopian dreams that have their roots in secularism, but will never be realized. This is not our calling. Our calling is a personal commitment to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and His Holy Church, seeking first the kingdom of God, loving our neighbor in truth, transforming our lives, our local parishes, communities, and country through a life of repentance, prayer, fasting, almsgiving, philanthropy. I'm afraid, however, we've been overtaken subtly by materialism and secularism. We're all too often occupied with this stuff. The love of money, as Paul warns, is the root of all evil. And our Lord warns of laying up treasures on the earth, where moth and rust corrupt. He also says we can't serve two masters, yet it seems to be the way we all are. I love the words of St. Ambrosia. The bellies of the poor are safer storehouses than one's barn. As Christians, we can get caught up in a type of materialism that focuses on political debates about redistribution of assets in society, but this is not a replacement of deeds of mercy that demonstrate the philanthropy of God, the true heart of God to man, equating government welfare and social redistribution of wealth. To create a more equal society and improve humanity's lot is not fulfilling the Lord's commandments or his warning of the last judgment we read in the end of St. Matthew's Gospel in chapter 25. Whether giving to the poor is one-on-one or to an organization, it must be remembered that philanthropic works must be done in the love of God and are in a manifestation of our connection to him. As St. John says in his first epistle, hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's goods and sees his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion for him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. These acts of mercy are not just a manifestation of an inward work in our hearts, but through philanthropic acts of mercy, we open our hearts to the grace of God to penetrate our souls and transform us individually. We see this principle first alluded to in the book of Deuteronomy, where the instructions for tithing are given. Bring in the tithe that you may learn the fear of the Lord your God all your days. We see in the end of that same chapter a reference to the stranger, the orphan, and widow. Through giving, the children of Israel would learn the heart of God. St. Gregory of Nyssa speaks to the transforming power of giving. He says, when we imitate God's generosity by giving to the poor, we grow in the divine qualities of mercy and kindness. They inhabit a person, divinize him, and stamp him with the imitation of the good, in order to bring to life our original immortal image, which transcends conception. St. Gregory the theologian understood philanthropy to be a need and an absolute obligation of all Christians. He understood this in view of the final judgment, fearing, as he said, the possibility of being numbered among the goats on the left hand of the sovereign judge, not because they have done something forbidden, nothing of the sort, attracts condemnation on them, except their having failed to care for Christ himself in the person of the poor. Oh, but we're so distracted. People yelling in our ears, we're always drawn to this or that cause or this or that injustice. We have to remember that our life in Christ is not based, again, on a mere political agenda or to make the world a better place. If the exercise of our faith is simply to set an example of moral justice or to have a positive influence on the shortcomings of society, we are failing short of our Orthodox faith. I love what Father Philip Lemaster states in regard to this. He says, it's a form of idolatry to make the goal of a better world superior to our Lord. Nonetheless, those who follow Jesus Christ faithfully will bear the fruits of his kingdom. Let's invite the Lord into our house. Would we not, as St. John Chrysostom says, do whatever we could to invite the Lord into our home and provide every need he would have if given the opportunity? Yet this opportunity is before us every day with the poor and beggars in our streets. Don't miss the opportunity to invite the Lord into your house. Don't be like the rich man who passed by Lazarus every day. The poor are here for our salvation. The Orthodox must be a living testimony to the risen Christ. The power of his resurrection must renew each of us daily raising the hope of resurrection to the fallen world, transforming us into true human beings, demonstrating the true philanthropia of God in real time, in a life of dynamic and continuous renewal of the resurrection of life we have in Christ. As Archbishop Anastasios says, Orthodoxy experiences the journey toward change for the better, not as a legalistic coercion full of moralistic rigidity, but as a feast, as the celebration of a resplendent exodus from the oppressive and gloomy Egypt of our lives with Christ crucified and resurrected as our guide. The prophet Isaiah sums up our meditation beautifully with this: "Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, that ye break every yoke. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rear reward. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations. And thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in." This, my brothers and sisters, this is our path. This is how we transform our life, our church, and America. Thank you.
You've been listening to Our Life in Christ and in America with host Bill Hinkle. This has been a production of the Orthodox Christian Network.